Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On Being Ill is a short modernist essay by Virginia Woolf, written in 1925 and first published in 1926, that argues for illness as a serious subject of literature and thought. Rather than treating sickness as a merely medical event, Woolf examines how physical vulnerability changes perception, language, social relations, and the sense of self. The essay begins from a striking cultural observation. Literature has long devoted immense attention to love, war, jealousy, and ambition, yet has rarely explored the ordinary experience of having a fever, a headache, or a weakened body. Woolf uses this absence to question the assumption that the mind can be separated from bodily conditions. Her prose moves between literary criticism, philosophical reflection, and personal meditation, making the essay both analytical and lyrical. Its purpose is not to offer medical advice, but to expand how readers understand sickness as an intellectual, emotional, and imaginative condition. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, illness as an overlooked subject equal to love, war, and jealousy. Woolf's central claim is that illness has been strangely neglected by literature despite being one of the most common human experiences. She points out that literary tradition has treated emotional conflict, romance, ambition, and battle as worthy of sustained artistic treatment, while bodily suffering is often reduced to a plot device or background condition. This argument is important because it challenges a hierarchy of subjects in which the mind appears noble and the body appears merely inconvenient. For Woolf, illness is not a minor interruption of real life. It is a condition that reveals hidden aspects of consciousness, dependence, fear, perception, and imagination. By asking why novels and poems rarely dwell on influenza, pain, or fever, she exposes a cultural discomfort with bodily fragility. The essay therefore widens the field of literary seriousness. It suggests that sickness deserves artistic attention, not because it is dramatic in a conventional sense, but because it alters how reality is felt. Woolf turns an apparently ordinary condition into a test case for what literature is willing to notice. Secondly, the sick body transforms consciousness and perception. A major insight of On Being Ill is that bodily states are inseparable from mental life. Woolf rejects the quiet assumption that the body is simply a transparent vessel through which the mind looks at the world. In illness, the body becomes unmistakable temperature, fatigue, pain, weakness, and discomfort reshape thought itself. The sick person does not merely think the same thoughts under worse circumstances. Illness changes scale, attention, and emotional intensity. Ordinary objects may become vivid, strange, remote, or overwhelming. The sky, flowers, books, and voices can appear under altered pressure, because the body has changed the conditions of perception. This is why Woolf treats illness as an altered state rather than a simple deprivation. It narrows practical activity, but can enlarge certain forms of inward awareness. Her reasoning anticipates later interest in embodied consciousness, since she shows that the mind cannot be understood apart from the physical conditions that sustain or disturb it. Illness reveals that thought is never disembodied, even when health makes the body easy to ignore. Thirdly, the poverty of language around pain and sickness, Woolf repeatedly emphasizes that ordinary language is poorly equipped to describe illness. People have inherited rich vocabularies for love, grief, honor, and conflict, but far fewer expressive resources for headaches, fevers, exhaustion, or chronic discomfort. This linguistic poverty matters because what cannot be described clearly is often socially minimized. If a person cannot communicate pain with precision, the experience risks being treated as private, vague, or trivial. Woolf does not simply complain that illness is hard to describe. She argues that literature has failed to develop forms adequate to it. Pain resists comparison, and sickness often disrupts the orderly narratives that novels prefer. The essay, therefore, becomes a call for imaginative invention. Woolf wants writers to find new rhythms, images, and structures capable of registering bodily suffering without reducing it to sentimentality or clinical description. Her point has lasting relevance because medical facts and lived illness are not the same thing. A diagnosis may name a condition, but literature must find ways to express how that condition is inhabited. Fourthly, isolation, dependence, and the ambiguous privileges of being cared for, Woolf presents illness as socially double-edged. It can isolate the sufferer from ordinary life, separating the sick person from conversation, work, mobility, and shared routines. At the same time, illness can create a peculiar form of attention from others. The adult patient may become temporarily childlike, dependent on care, sympathy, waiting, and small signs of concern. Woolf treats this regression with nuance rather than simple approval. There can be comfort in receiving attention and protection, but there is also humiliation, loneliness, and passivity in being reduced to a body that must be managed. This tension gives the essay much of its psychological depth. Wolf recognizes that illness changes social identity as well as physical sensation. The sick person is not only unwell, they are repositioned within relationships of care, pity, irritation, and absence. Her analysis avoids romanticizing suffering because the privileges of illness are unstable and conditional. Attention may soothe, but it can also emphasize vulnerability. Illness exposes the human need for care while making that need difficult to bear. Lastly, modernist form and the later importance of the essay in medical humanities, the form of On Being Ill is as significant as its subject. Wolf does not present a linear argument in the style of a medical essay or social pamphlet. Instead, she moves through association, image, reflection, literary reference, and shifting perspective. This method fits the subject because illness itself often breaks ordinary sequence. Fever, weakness, and pain can make thought circuitous, fragmented, heightened, or strangely lucid. The essay therefore enacts part of what it describes. Its modernist style asks readers to follow consciousness as it moves under pressure, rather than expect a tidy thesis followed by examples. This quality can make the essay demanding, but it is also why it remains influential. In contemporary medical humanities and narrative medicine, On Being Ill is valued because it distinguishes disease as a medical category from illness as lived experience. Wolf shows that sickness has cultural, linguistic, psychological, and aesthetic dimensions. The essay stands at an early point in a tradition that now examines patient experience, embodiment, and the stories societies permit or suppress about suffering. In conclusion, On Being Ill is especially valuable for readers interested in Virginia Woolf, modernist prose, illness narratives, disability studies, medical humanities, or the relationship between body and consciousness. It is not a practical health guide and does not offer a program for recovery. Its benefit is intellectual and perceptual. It helps readers notice how illness changes time, attention, language, dependence, and self-understanding. For students and scholars, the essay provides a compact but rich example of Wolf method as an essayist, combining cultural criticism with a highly responsive prose style. For readers with experience of illness, it may offer recognition without reducing sickness to either tragedy or inspiration. Compared with many later books about illness, it stands out because of its early and explicit argument that sickness deserves literary seriousness. Wolf does not simply narrate a personal condition. She questions why culture has lacked adequate forms for speaking about bodily vulnerability. That combination of literary critique, philosophical reflection, and embodied observation gives the essay its continuing force. Its brevity also makes it unusually concentrated. In a small space, Wolf reorients the reader from seeing illness as an interruption of life to seeing it as one of the conditions through which life becomes legible. If you would like to support Virginia Wolf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.